Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Mike Tech Show. Thank you for downloading my podcast. This is my first official podcast. It's the Mike Tech Show, show number 100, Saturday, December 16th, 2006. It's the Mike Tech Show, show number 200, Saturday, August 9th, 2008.
The show is a proud member of the TechPodcast.com network.
Find out more about this and other shows at
www.techpodcast.com.
TechPodcast.com.
If it's tech, it's here.
It's the Mike Tech Show. Member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Please visit TechPodcast.com. And now, here's your host, Mike Smith.
Welcome to show 300, everybody. Welcome. It is show number 400.
All right, folks, so we're going to get things started kicking off Mike Tech Show's milestone, show number 500. And it is my honor to kick the show off and introduce Mike Smith. But before he starts show number 500, I had something made up just for Mike here to celebrate and commemorate this day right here. And hopefully we'll have him behind. It'll be behind him in future Mike Tech Shows. You might see this. And just as Mike Tech show number 500, today's date in our location today. So congratulations to Mike and for all that dedication. Now you think about how many podcasts have been around as dedicated, as regularly put out. Sellout of some of the others who have been doing it for as long as Mike has. And Mike has stayed true since day one to his format and his passion. And Mike, I just want to present this to you. This is from all of us.
Thank you for everything you've
done for the community.
Thank you very much.
I am both lucky, honored, and grateful to have this friendship that we have and to be a part of Tech Vets with you. And I enjoy Tech Vets, Mike Tech Show as much as, well, I enjoy Tech Vets, obviously.
Yes.
But Mike Tech Show, of course, is an excellent podcast. Of course, we're very lucky and fortunate to have all of such loyal listeners that are willing to take their time and join us today. And without further ado, let's kick off Mike Tech Show, show number 500.
It's the Mike Tech Show, show number 500. It's the Mike Tech Show, show number 600. It is the Mike Tech Show, show number 700, August 15th, 2019. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the podcast. I'm your host, Mike Smith. Thank you very much for downloading and subscribing to the show. Please visit the main website at miketechshow.com. You can email me questions and suggestions for show topics at miketechshow@gmail.com. You can leave me a voicemail message on Skype. The name is Mike Tech Show, all one word. Follow me on Twitter, twitter.com/MikeTechShow, and also facebook.com/MikeTechShow. This show is brought to you by Instant House Call. Remotely support your customers unattended and on demand through firewalls. Try it free by clicking the link on my website at MikeTechShow.com. Use the promo code MikeTechShow for your free 15-day trial, or just go directly to InstantHouseCall.com. I am honored and thrilled to be doing this for show 700. I've had such a wonderful time over the years. It took a little longer to go from 600 to 700 because this past year, maybe the past 2 years, it's been difficult to get a show out every single week like I did in the beginning. But we're going beyond year 14 here. Literally started the first show number one was March 6th, 2005. So I'm going to talk about some of the milestone shows. Then I'm going to get in. I do have a tech topic for tonight, which is a story from the trenches with lots of lessons. The first show on March 6, 2005, I talked about BART PE Builder. That's where you build that environment, the test environment for Windows XP at the time, for booting up and troubleshooting from a standalone CD. That was pretty cool. Quick Keys, which is a way to like automate and macros. I remember I used to use, talked about Gmail was fairly new. Live manuals, and my hosting provider was Brinkster. And that's really funny because Brinkster, I had lots of troubles, and that's where the actual domain MikeNation.net comes from, because I had to migrate and I didn't want to miss anything going from one hosting over to GoDaddy. So I went from Brinkster to GoDaddy, and to not disrupt anything, I made MikeNation.net the hosting, and then I quickly, as soon as the domain transferred for the Mike Tech Show, I forwarded it to MikeNation.net and left it there ever since, which I noticed this past weekend, there's been a little delay in that relay, and I opened a ticket with GoDaddy, but haven't been able to, something's going on in GoDaddy land where that forward's not happening as quickly as I would like it to. So just wanted to throw that out there. I have music for the end of the show with some meaningful songs that I picked because there's some deep meaning within the past shows. And I'm going to talk about why. We talked about show one. Show 100 was December 16th, 2006. And I talked about the Cisco IP communicator. Show 200 was August 9th, 2008. And that's when I introduced to the world, I learned about SyncBack, which I still use to this day, which is a great program for synchronizing files and basic backup. Love that program. Talk about OpenDNS back then. My favorite antivirus back in 2008 was AVG, so antivirus. Talk about Firefox and one of my favorite, and I still use it this today, the extension TabMix Plus for Firefox. Show 300 was April 1st, 2010, and I talk about Windows 7 home groups and getting Vista and XP machines to talk to Windows 7 machines, because there's always something going on with how to make A talk to B. And that's something I've always prided myself in, which is getting Windows machines back in the day talk to Macs and back and forth. In the beginning, that wasn't easy until Apple changed to Intel. And it's what really started me having an iMac nearby, because that opened the door for more opportunities for some tech support with clients that had Apple that other people, most Windows and networking people, were afraid of. I'm not. I always experience new things, and I want to learn. I want to be a sponge. I am 58 years old, and I still want to learn something every day. You have to be in a constant state of learning, and that's how you can have more value add to your clients. On show 400, I reviewed my podcast hardware and software, and that was March 22nd, 2012. A lot of listeners would always ask, what do I use for hardware? What do I use for software? How do I record? And I went into great detail to the hardware, the software, where I made changes in the hardware to try to get the best audio that I possibly can. Then we move on to the big show 500, which some of you in the chat, Mike Cooley, attended. And that was in Fort Washington, Pennsylvania, not far from where I live. And it was March 2014 on a Saturday, I reviewed my entire journey from my corporate life moving into and started podcasting while I was working, and then moving from the corporate world to consulting, and how really the podcast started, the basic roots. And I talk all about how I got there to show 500. And maybe we'll do something similar to that when we hit show 1,000. So we just got 300 more shows. Show 500 was a great meetup. Corey from Instant House Call contributed to help me for the food. I got a nice little venue for the day at a Holiday Inn, and it went off like clockwork. It was perfect. I'll never forget the audio. Someone I know who sets up audio, he's retired, and he sets this up for churches and different functions. And I had him the week before literally duplicate that entire audio system set up in this room right here as we test it, so there'd be no feedback and everything was perfect. It was recorded. It turned out perfect. Everybody had a tremendous time. A lot of you who came in the night before, we went down to Gino's Steaks for cheesesteaks, and it was a wonderful time. And putting faces to names was great. Also became the genesis meeting for the conventions, for the unconvention, for TechCon Unplugged. The roots of this was really my show 500 meetup. That's where this talk began. Hey, we should do something like this every year and maybe invite people to talk. And it's how we did a meetup in Arizona for CompTIA. We did another meetup that didn't come off the ground too well in Chicago. And there's a lot of stories as to why that didn't happen. And I'll come clean someday and throw some people under the bus. And then we had our first unconvention in Toronto. Corey Fruitman put together, and we participated in the content. I did a lot of talking. Everybody did. Then we had an unconvention in D.C. Now it's TechCon Unplugged at September 20th through the 22nd. Go to techconunplugged.com. You're almost just within 30 days. You want to grab your ticket and attend. We have everything on the website, $199, and you're going to get food way beyond what you're paying for. The content is amazing, what we have for speakers, and there's going to be surprise giveaways and things. You are going to come away with way more than what you're paying. I'm going to be there. I've already got my airline tickets. I've got my hotel reservations right there at one venue. It's inexpensive. I hope to see you there, because we're within a month. That brings us to today. We have all of this, all of these meetups, and I intend to have another Mike Tech Show meetup at some point. Taz in the chat is pushing for show 750. Let's see what we can do. You know, maybe next spring we can do something like that. That would be awesome. At the end of the show, I'm going to get into the music and how that was a bigger part of the earlier podcasts and why. And there's great stories to that. Then I have some thank yous and some other podcasts that got me started. So I'm going to spend a couple minutes on that. I want to bring the tech to the table here and a story from in the trenches. I have a client that a few months ago made a private announcement to me that they were leaving Ameriprise, their financial advisors, and they wanted to set up and go on their own. We couldn't tell anybody because they had to give 2 weeks' notice to them. And it's very complicated when you're a financial advisor and you're going to be switching to a different broker dealer. So I basically acted as their compliance officer over the last couple months, meeting and talking with the compliance officer of their new broker dealer, making sure their email is all encrypted, that there's transport rules that archives and journals every message, making sure that the mobile phone policies are set, making sure that they have a monitored firewall that's blocking everything, doing intrusion detection, intrusion prevention. I am the one that will receive all of the alerts and need to analyze that. I have untangled firewalls now at their two locations. So my son and I had to travel on Tuesday, and we spent all day Tuesday literally at one office. Then we had a couple hour drive to the other office. And now you're looking at a 3.5 hour drive home. So I already had a hotel room booked. We worked nonstop from 9 a.m. to 9 in the evening on Tuesday. Wednesday, we woke up yesterday, hit some phone calls on the road while I was driving back home. Everything went well, except for a couple bumps that we have to talk about. The first one is Monday. When I first set up their accounts, I set up their email, purchased Office 365, but through Sherweb. And I had to make sure that encryption was on. Not only the encryption, but I had to then do the transport rule to make sure that if they're on a mobile device, they can type the word encrypt. And I put it within brackets so that when they're sending the message from their mobile phone, it will be encrypted. I purchased, and I talked about this once before, Microsoft Office 365 E3. That includes compliance, journaling, archiving. I needed archiving turned on, and I needed some help with the encryption. I get level one tech support on Monday, because remember, they're going live on Tuesday. The person was very nice and said, I'm with you to the end. I'm not going to work on anything else. I'm going to get this fixed, get this set up for you, make it work. I'm taking care of everything that you need as I explained it. I was on hold for a long time. He came back, had a question. It got to the point when he called me back. He said, well, we can't do what you need done without charging you. We're going to have to charge you $150 an hour to do some back-end work. I said, what do you mean? You're just my hosted email provider. You sold me Office 365. Oh, by the way, a little tidbit here. If you buy Office 365 from someone other than Microsoft, even though they pass you through to their portal, Microsoft is not allowed to help you. As a matter of fact, they connected me on my original call on Monday to Sherweb. So I'm getting angrier and angrier, and especially when I'm told I'm going to have to pay all this money. I was not a happy camper. I wanted to talk to a manager. I talked to his manager, and that was after being on hold for quite a bit. The manager told me, I'm going to assign this to a senior tech, a level three tech. They're going to call you. And man, I let him have it. And I have like 40 clients on Sherweb. And as of this moment when I'm talking to them, I'm envisioning moving every single one of my clients to anybody other than Sherweb because of the way I was being treated on the phone. A couple things I didn't know until later. So hour and a half later, I get a call from a tech. Her name's Anna. And the first thing on the phone call, it says, she says, this is being recorded for training purposes. I said, perfect. I am very glad. She looked at everything and what I was requested and said, Mike, encryption has been turned on from day one. Because I did not know how to make it work properly through Outlook. What she said was, open up Outlook, that's Office 365, and actually I tried it on Office 2019. I logged on as one of my clients that are part of this migration. And you have to, when you open a new message, if encryption's already turned on at the back end, you get, depending on what flavor of Office 365, or Outlook 2016 or Outlook 2019, you get either in under options, there's a button, permissions or encrypt. When you click on that, you can download the what they call the encryption template that downloads behind the scenes that allows for you to click that button for messages to be encrypted. It was easy. She took 5 minutes to describe what I had to do, and I tested it, and it worked perfectly. Now, I knew how to do the transport rule. I said, let me do the transport rule where you just type encrypt in the subject line and then send it, and it will also be encrypted. That worked perfectly. She told me it's very simple. At the back end, they can turn on archiving and journaling for the 6 users. She said that might take the, you know, tonight to be provisioned, but in the morning you'll get an email on how to log in and how you can look. Basically, for compliance, you can't, for SEC compliance, every message inbound or outbound to a financial advisor has to be stored in what they would call a cold storage that you can never modify. All of these messages that are now happening, they're being saved and you cannot modify them. So they are perfect for any kind of legal action or e-discovery, though every message is completely saved and the user has to do nothing. It's happening automatic. Then today I just finished with their broker dealer. They need to have an archive journaled message for their compliance. So there's basically 3 places. Anytime they send a message, it's being stored 3 different places that they cannot touch. You can view it, but you can't modify it. This all takes place with Anna within a half hour. She solves everything I need. I said, am I being charged? And she says, of course not. She says, I didn't do anything, really, except tell you how to activate a couple things. So I felt a lot better. And I decided to make a statement. And I said, can I just make a statement since this is being recorded? She said, absolutely. And I explained that Level 1 tech support, in their enthusiasm to try to help me, lied. They didn't realize they were lying, but they overextended what their abilities were and that they could do some things. They misinformed me. And that made me angry to the point where you almost lost a client and you almost lost a partner who recommends your services. And if Level 1 cannot handle encryption or compliance questions, then they should tell the caller that and that this needs to be escalated. Don't be afraid to do that. Escalate it. You're actually going to save customers, not lose them. I said, I hope someone hears this. I'm not making this up. A vice president yesterday called me when I was actually driving home, said he listened to that message and said, we are taking this serious. We heard what you said, and we're using that clip to make sure that our first level of techs understand that. And this is the lesson here. Never overpromise if you don't know how to do it. Say it. Do not be embarrassed to tell a client, wow, I've never seen that or I've never done that before, but don't worry. I'm going to take care of it. I'm going to learn it. I'm going to fix it. I am going to call the necessary person that's the subject matter expert, and we're going to get this resolved or we're going to, whatever we're going to do. Don't be afraid to do that. Your customers will respect you. And this is the valuable lesson here for all these different service providers that, oh, don't worry, we can fix this. I can do it. Look, if you got to escalate to another support to higher level, say it, do it. Say, look, instead of putting you on hold, here's the ticket number. Someone's going to call you back. Is this the right number? Repeat the number. This is very simple. This is customer service 101. And it should be followed by everybody. So that was a big lesson. Here's another one that actually took more time than it should have. Ameriprise, when you are leaving, they remotely wipe your systems. And you have to redo them. Now, they're all Windows 10 systems. There were 6 of them. Do you know they improperly wiped 3 of them to the point where we had to reinstall Windows 10 from scratch? Now, 3 of them, they worked. 3 of them, they didn't. They had a 50% success rate. Horrible, horrible. my son and I lost so much time in redoing Windows 10 on systems that we shouldn't have had to. All we should have had to do is just install the new Office version, because it should have been a fresh Windows 10. Redo BitLocker, put antivirus, anti-malware software on, making sure all the tweaks were done that we needed. No. So they messed that up, and that took a long time. Another one, and this is a lesson, the Untangle appliance that we had for the one office actually has no Wi-Fi, and it's something I didn't plan for because I've never been down to this office, and we are basically replacing an Ameriprise router that they disconnect that had Wi-Fi built in, and because it was a Meraki, and because of that, we had to get a new router that my son was able to go with one of the owners, and they went to literally a Walmart just to get something where we could have Wi-Fi in the office. It's a small office, and they cannot use the Comcast Wi-Fi because that's in front of the Untangle firewall, so therefore it wouldn't be compliant. That was the only other little hiccup, and I wish I had had them take pictures of everything, and I would have been in a better position because we talked with the people in that office. We never seen it. It was our first time. And I would have been prepared better where literally the network closet is inside an area of the bathroom. Not making this up. So I would have known to have some long cables because when you set up an Untangle appliance, you have to have your monitor, which I had with me. And luckily the cord was long enough for where I was able to do the work, and then a mouse and a keyboard. And there was very little room to work to get that all done. So got that all set up. My client is so happy and they're working great. And I wanted to share that story from the trenches. And may I have a whole bunch of other financial advisors decide to move like that, because that's some great work and I enjoy doing it, and I enjoy making sure that the client is properly set up and FINRA compliant. I have music, three songs lined up here. I don't know if they're all going to make the final cut of this, but I think so. Along the way, I started podcasting. One of the big thing that podcasters used to do is put independent music at the end of their show to kind of give a nod and a help to that struggling artist that maybe does not have a record label behind them and no advertising arm. And for a few years, there was a great website that I loved called GarageBand.com. And it's where I was introduced to the following three artists that I'm going to play. And this first song, I've played on a couple milestone shows. It's a great song that kind of sticks to your head that you're not going to be able to get out of. And the group, I don't think exists anymore. The group was called Beat and Path. And this is Goodbye Beautiful Day. Wonderful song. Give a listen, and then I'll be back for the next. And then I still have some more things to talk about.
Just withers away.
That was Beaten Path, Goodbye Beautiful Day. And last night, as I was putting the intro together, my son Ryan was here, and I said, you know, I got to pick some songs to play at the end of the show. And he's like, oh, Beaten Path, Beautiful Day, you got to play that. And I was surprised how he pulled that so quickly. That's how popular of a song. I actually got a lot of email about that, and it actually encouraged me to keep playing music. So now I find a local artist who I've played a lot. And if you followed me on Facebook, I've met her a couple times. I've been to some of her shows. Her name's Liz Longley. And I discover her on GarageBand, and she's 16 years old singing this.
Don't stop, I like where this is going. You've got a way of coming over me like rain in June. Tongue tied, your body warm to the touch, and you're terrified. Well, that makes two of us now, just the two of us now. Have you ever felt so alive as I feel with you tonight? So deep in your arms. And have you ever had a love so real that through your veins you could almost feel a rush of blood to your heart? With one kiss you cover every inch of my skin in pure bliss. And all the sound of you aching for more. So hold me steady as you unfold me and unleash a desire that will never die. Have you ever felt so alive as I feel with you tonight? So deep in your arms. And have you ever had a love so real that through your veins you could almost feel a rush of shadows dancing on the wall, the pulse racing like the thunder as we surrender to it all. Well, have you ever felt so alive as I feel with you tonight? So deep in your arms. And have you
Liz Longley, the song Rush. And I was supposed to see her at New Hope Winery this past Friday night, and I could not make it with all the troubles you heard me talk about in the beginning of the show last week, which I was lucky. Sunday, my wife allowed me to edit both of those shows and get them posted up. And last Sunday was my 40th wedding anniversary. And what were we doing? I edited show 698 and 699 and got them posted, and also boxing up our bedroom because we got to move out of it because of all the construction that's going to begin next week. Which is one other thing. There will not be a show for the next 2 weeks. On the 22nd and the 29th, I'm traveling. But if all goes well, I might be able to do a show on the 31st of August, a Saturday. Let's see. Let's keep our fingers crossed. No promise. I will try to do a show. Let's continue with the final song, and then I have a few things to talk about. The final song, I found Rob Costlow, and I took, and I explained this on a show a couple shows ago when a listener wrote in and said, hey, that intro and outro music you have is a song that called Reflections from Rob Costlow, who's just a great pianist. And I wanted to pull a different song that I've played, I know, in a show probably years ago. This is called Semester Days, and it wouldn't be fitting to do a summary show without including Rob Costlow because he's such a part of my intro and outro. He listens to the show. I have full permission and support to play his music, and he is just tremendous. And give a listen. Thank you. you're never quite sure when the song is over or not when you're listening to Rob Coslow on the piano, which I love. I love his style. And the first time I found one of his songs on GarageBand, it was a wedding song that he wrote, I think, for his sister or something a long time ago. He didn't have the money for a gift, so he wrote a beautiful song for their wedding on the piano. Just an amazing artist. What a pleasure to find those artists. So here's what I ask. I have not looked for independent music to be able to play, and I'd love to get back into introducing a song at the end of the show. And I stopped doing that for a long time. Where is PodSafe Music located and independent music like that? And I will link that. If you know of any or know of sites, hey, send it to me, miketechshow@gmail.com. And I'll begin to include that and I'll take a look. I love mixing tech and music. You know from the passion for me where I travel to see different music, and I have three sons, all of different various music tastes. You know, we all agree on Green Day. So anytime Green Day comes by, you will always see a picture of me and my sons at a Green Day concert or Pearl Jam. I take turns taking them to a concert. Music's a big part of my life. As you know, the post shows over the years, I'm really like a DJ. And if you don't like it, you turn off or you don't have to listen to it. That's okay. I want to bring the tech. I want to bring the personal stories. It's how I relate to you and connect with you. And before we wrap up, some really big thank yous. And before podcasts were even thought of, I listened to Andy Graham, his Computer Beat internet show on Saturday afternoons, sort of an underground radio show. I listened to him for years, and then he retired a long time ago. I'll never forget, and I've mentioned this before, if you go to Computer Beat, his website, I'm in his top 10 list of podcasts, of tech podcasts to listen to know that he's recognized me, and I am because of him. That's pretty cool. And we've never met, we've never talked, but really enjoyed Andy Graham because he was a small shop owner and he would tell stories every Saturday from the trenches. And he would always talk about the things he ran into and what people brought in the shop that week. And I love those stories. And when he retired, I missed it. And I said, that's what's missing. And then podcasts came along. I started listening to The Daily Source Code, which was Adam Curry, who literally is the podfather, the origin of podcasting. And it was his recommendation to someone to put and change the RSS feed to contain a link to audio content. And that's where podcasts come from, really from the RSS feed and Adam Curry having that vision. Love listening to him. Love his voice. He used to be on MTV. Then I started looking for particular topics like tech and stumbled on to Todd Cochran's Geek News Central, who's still going strong right now. I belong to the Tech Podcast Network, which he started. I'm also part of the Blueberry Network, and I owe a great deal of my listeners. One of the tipping points, he played one of my promos when I think I was on show 5 or something. I was listening to his show, and he played a Mike Tech Show promo. And I was like, that was so cool. Anyway, that was one of the tipping points for my show. I loved it. Then something I could relate to as an admin in the corporate world was a show that has pod faded years ago, In the Trenches by Kevin Devon. And he's someone I would love to chat with. You know, what are you doing now? What's happening? And I'm still podcasting. And I loved listening to his admin stories. It was great. And definitely has made the segment that I just did in the middle of this show for Stories from the Trenches is a nod and a wink to what Kevin Devin created within the trenches. And finally, well, not finally, my family. How can you do this every year? How can I do this every week if it wasn't for my family, and especially having such a supportive wife and a son, Ryan, who was the instigator for me to get a microphone and a mixer and start recording. He would hear me listen to shows on the radio, and I'm pointing up to where I had my speakers, and I would answer questions before that person did when he would read an email or say something. And Ryan would say, "Dad, why are you not doing your own show?" And it was that nudge that helped me to want to start a podcast and start recording. And I would not be here if it was not for you, the listeners, your support, your email, everything that I do is because of you. You have been my emotional crutches when I needed it, when there were Thursdays when I had horrible, horrible days in the corporate world where I didn't think I could go on to do anything, and would sit down here, do my podcast, and it would change. There were shows where I wasn't feeling good, and I get on the air and get behind the mic, and just the interaction in the chat room and all of your support has been phenomenal. And it's why I do this. It's why I get up and want to keep recording. It's because you are there and you're listening, and I so appreciate it. And what a great segue. What's the best way to support the show? Carrie Holzman and myself share an Amazon link. I know I'm shameless, but I had to. The Amazon link, you click on that and then add things to the shopping cart. Your price stays the same, but a small commission comes back to support us. And let me tell you, that makes a big difference. That keeps the lights on sometimes. That pays for the hosting. That pays for some of the equipment and changes that we need to do. It is very important. And that's the Amazon link in my show notes at MikeNation.net and also at tech-vets.com. I want to thank Instant House Call for being such a great supporter of the Mike Tech Show and a great sponsor. Check out that. If you need remote access for your clients, go to instanthousecall.com and give it a try. I can't live without it. Matter of fact, this weekend we have a whole migration going for an office that we're not even going to be on site. We have 6 systems that we're going to upgrade from Office 2010 to Office 365 in preparation for this big software upgrade. And we're going to do it remotely because tomorrow, Friday, everybody who leaves, they're going to leave their system on, and we're going to confirm that Instant House Call unattended is on all the systems properly and accessible. And we're going to do it remotely. And I don't have to have the wear and tear of driving in to Center City, paying the ridiculous parking fees. This is why you need reliable remote access software installed for your clients. Fabs Auto Backup 7 Pro, another great utility. You know, I only talk about software, services, and utilities that I use. It's why I threw SureWeb under the bus, but they did come through at the end, and I will talk about that. I am not afraid. If anybody that has problems, I don't care who you are, what you're doing, it's from the heart. It's going to be honest, and I'm going to give proper, reliable, responsible feedback, whether it's negative or whether it's positive. And you know that. That's why when I recommend something, or even when Carrie recommends something, you know, we're not going to have a sponsor, or we're not going to talk about something unless we endorse it and we know it, because we're putting our reputations on the line. Thank you so much for listening, staying subscribed, and following me. I really appreciate it, and may I be blessed to have another 700 shows. Thank you, and we'll see you same time, same channel in a couple weeks. Bye-bye, everybody.
You've been listening to The Mike Tech Show, a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. Please visit techpodcast.com.